Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 18th of July, year 2018. And, hold on just a second here. Okay. And I am Commander Dan and Pastor Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for this call is current events, geopolitical updates, the call for disbanding of the FBI, and the passing of 160 terabytes of data from Vladimir Putin to President Donald Trump. Before we get into the call, we do dedicate it to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. I know it's late over there, but some of you may be still awake. For anybody that's calling in using a phone, we do want to remind you that you hit star 6 if you wish to be unmuted and ask a question or make a comment. If you're on a computer, you would go to your screen and find a question and answer button. It will be labeled Q&A with the symbol for and, Q&A, and that's the way we work that. Everybody that contacts the call will be automatically muted, so you don't have to worry about doing it at your end. So just call in and join us. We do want to remind you that the website, PastorDan.net, and that's all together, no spaces or any special characters in between there, it's just PastorDan.net. We have that updated on a daily basis at the moment, and I'm just typing in a little something here. Just give me a second. And also, to let you know, at PastorDan.net, we have uploaded 2 new short videos, about 5 or 6 minutes each, book reports. The one book report is on Solving 9/11 by Christopher Balin. Excellent book. Highly recommend it. And the second book, which we refer to on this radio show and call often, is the book called The Brothers, John Foster Dulles, Alan Dulles, and Their Secret World War by Stephen Kinzer. Both of those videos, again, are very short. They're at the website on the video page if you want to check it out. There's other videos there as well. We'll try to get some videos up to you frequently. However, it does take an awful lot of resources and upload time to get videos up on the Internet. We're using BitChute because, of course, everybody knows about the censorship and trouble with YouTube is really what it should be called. So circumventing YouTube is something we are all trying to do. So Steemit is another alternative. I do have a Steemit account, but for some reason I seem to be drawn towards BitChute for some reason. And so it's working out really well for us so far. Anybody that has videos that they want to make available, a lot of the YouTube folks are paralleling their current channels on YouTube with a channel over at BitChute, which I believe is a smart thing to do. So tonight, anyway, we want to cover some hot topics in the news, some of the things that are going on, of course. Just before the call started, I did get a Lieutenant Colonel Potter put out a real short video that Lieutenant Colonel, I believe he said, Anthony Schaefer and Ann Coulter are calling for the disbanding of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI. I say hallelujah, even though I have friends in the FBI, which seem to be okay folks at the lower levels, but as an organization, it's outlived its usefulness to we the people. It is full of corruption, especially at the top. And as is coming out in the news here lately with the testifying by Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and many others, and the way they're conducting themselves, and what Comey and before Comey, Loretta Lynch and Eric Holder, all of them criminals, just using that organization as a political tool, a political hammer. And so now we've got major figures calling for the actual disbanding of the FBI. And right behind that, of course, it should be the Central Intelligence Agency disbanded as well. John F. Kennedy, one of the reasons they assassinated him, and that's the powers that be, it sure as hell wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone, which is one of your clear signs of a cover-up and assassination is when they try to pin it on a lone gunman, which even these recent school shootings and all that, it's the same MO. It's always the same MO. I don't know why, but they can't seem to veer from that. It must be they've all agreed that we're going to do it this way for some strange reason, and they just stick to it. No matter how ridiculous it is, no matter how many people are waking up to it, it's the same. And their agenda, which is to disarm the white Christian population of the United States and virtually every other white nation, they've pretty much accomplished it overseas, but here in the United States, we're a bit more stubborn. We come from the founding fathers' bloodlines. They came here as pioneers. They have a spirit of rebellion against tyranny, and it seems that there's still a remnant of that ideology and feeling left in some of the descendants here in America. And it's driving the New World Order Zionist cabal nuts that they can't seem to get away with their communist agenda. So hallelujah for President Trump and Vladimir Putin of Russia. It seems like they did accomplish quite a bit. And the second item on my agenda here is that during their summit in Helsinki, Vladimir Putin gave Donald Trump a device. We are speculating at this time that it was in that soccer ball, a device containing 160 terabytes. So that's 160,000 gigabytes of data on the deep state and New World Order. And the article that I read on Before It's News was asking the question, will this mean the coming of military tribunals, which we've talked about on this program since 2010. So 8 years now we've been calling for military tribunals. And a lot of people say that they're skeptical of that, they're fearful of that. Well, that's true. It can go awry. I mean, let's face it, this is exactly what the communists want to do. Only they want their people to lead the coup and the military takeover so that it will become a communist nation, as they did to the white Christian empire known as Russia 100 years ago when they murdered the Tsar and Tsarina and the family so that the people could not return to their monarch who was overseeing and watching out for their best interests. You see, the Jews, as they always do, pretended to be representing of the people and the majority. That's why they called themselves Bolsheviks, which in Russian means majority, to deceive the people. So with $20 million in gold from New York City Jewish banks smuggled up through Canada and over to Moscow to into Jewish hands over in Moscow to fund the revolution, they just had to buy off key whites in the military and in the press to perpetuate the lie, much as the mockingbird media here in the United States is doing the exact same thing now, is to perpetuate the lie that they represent the majority of people. It's very similar to the feminist movement years ago. All of the females that were at the head of that feminist movement were hag Jews. Every one of them was a hag and a Jew. And yet they put it to the American females that these Jewish hags represented all of the women in America, when in fact there was no representation of the white Jewish women, or I should say the white Christian women in America, by these Jewish lizards, is what I like to call them. That's what they look like as they get older. They look like lizards. So they're trolls or hags. But the media was portraying it like, you know, they represented the majority of women, that they wanted to be liberated. And yet the fact of the matter is that Caucasian women enjoyed being mothers, enjoyed their lives, and did not want feminism. But it was pushed down our throats because the media, again, controlled by the Jews, the politicians, again, controlled or bought off by the Jews, was portraying this image. Well, the same thing is happening right now, as it did in Russia, where the communists are coming unglued in this country, because just as George Bush was heard saying, and Hillary Clinton, that if the American people ever find out what we've done, they will hunt us down and hang us. Amen. That's exactly what should be done. They should be hunted down and hung. Every one of these dual citizenship carrying, card carrying traitors to this country should be hunted down and hung publicly. Publicly. And one of our own people verify that we've got the right people up on the gallows. No doubles, no stooges, no clones, no fakes, no forgeries. The real deal. Find these bastards and put them up on the gallows and do a public execution. Because that's what they did to the innocent white Christians in Russia. They murdered them by the tens of millions. Estimates vary. Stalin himself admitted to at least 60 million. 60 million white Christian men, women, and children murdered by the Zionist Bolsheviks in order to take over the Russian Empire. So they're not bashful about their treason and murder at all. So why should we feel any remorse at rounding them up and giving them a taste of their own justice, of their own doings? Much like the scripture we read last week. Let's read it again, because it's apropos as we talk about this. Ezekiel, one of my favorites, Ezekiel 37, and that army, when it comes into fruition, that army will be able to do what it says here in Ezekiel 25 at verse 14. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom Esau, which is the Jews today, by the hand of my people Jacob Israel. And they shall do in Edom, that's us, we shall do in these people called Edom Esau, according to mine anger and according to my fury. And they shall know my vengeance, meaning the enemies of Yahweh, who are our enemies as well. So they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh El Shaddai. So hallelujah. And then we go to Psalm 149. And it further says that it's our honor as his saints, his called out ones, to implement the judgment written. What is the judgment written? That Obadiah 18 says that the Esau people are to be exterminated by Jacob Israel. By Jacob and Joseph, it says at Obadiah verse 18. We become a flame and a fire. Well, what's a flame and a fire represent in biblical terms? It's judgment. Punishment for evildoers. So right here in Ezekiel chapter 25, we see that he is planning to lay vengeance upon Edom for what? Their criminality. That's coming out of the woodwork now, what the Jews have been up to. Andrew Carrickton Hitchcock, in his book, The Synagogue of Satan, his entire book is just a continual compendium of criminality by these people called Jews. Just case after case through history, you don't have to do that. You could simply go to the book of John and read in chapter 8 and elsewhere where Christ himself said that they were responsible for all the innocent blood shed upon the earth. And now that we're finding out about the lies and deceptions in the Mockingbird media and our learning institutions, our government, just about every, quote, major institution is corrupt as hell. Now we're finding out, when you do the digging, as Christopher Berlin did in his book of Uncovering the Truth About 9/11, you find that these criminals actually have been responsible for the innocent blood that's been shed. Especially when you look at, for instance, 9/11 led us to do what? Led us into perpetual war in the Middle East, where millions of innocent civilians have been killed, murdered by our people. So even though the Jew didn't pull the trigger in that sense, the Jew sure as hell has blood on his hands, as Christ said. Their machinations behind the scenes has led us up to this perpetual war in the Middle East and elsewhere, where many, many innocent lives, including our soldiers, by the way, our men and women in uniform are dying on these battlefields, thinking that we're doing the world a favor, when in fact we are doing the bidding of these Zionist Jews. So you see, 100 years later, what they did in Russia, they got away with. They did the exact same thing. When they murdered John F. Kennedy, they did the exact same thing. It came out today. Somebody found a post that was made in November of 61 or 62. I can't remember now. But it was just before they assassinated him, they were putting smear propaganda in the Mockingbird media calling John F. Kennedy a traitor. So what did you see today and yesterday? The Mockingbird media and all the communists within our government, like Bernie Sanders and Pelosi and Feinstein and Schumer and all the rest of these communists, saying that Trump had committed treason. Same thing with the heads of the intelligence agencies, saying that Donald Trump over there working out a deal for peace with Putin is tantamount to treason. Well, they are identifying themselves as the same kind of people that were responsible for the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Yeah, he was murdered by elements of the CIA and Mossad. All right? So the same group is doing it all over again. It just, they keep going through the same MO. But praise Yahweh, thanks to the internet and the awakening of the people, they're starting to figure this stuff out. The network of people. Now, you remember we talked about on this program that it says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end of the age, especially just prior to the coming of our Savior. Okay, well, think about this. We have reached the end. The criminality and despotism and debauchery of this world is at a height. And it says that the righteous will be provided an ark. That's what carried Noah and his pure, racially pure family above the judgment coming on everybody else. Well, what is bringing the right people today, the righteous people today, what's bringing them above what's going on out here? This sea of ignorance that floats around out here in the mainstream media and modern society, most of it lies and deceptions. Well, what rises you above all that is, it's called knowledge. It's called truth. And praise Yahweh that because of the internet, because there are avenues around this controlled Mockingbird media, you have the ability to ascertain what's really going on. With a little bit of the help of the Holy Spirit and a little due diligence on your part, you can figure out what's going on. And so that's why it is so beautiful to see these things starting to come to pass. You know, Trump was giving a press conference in the White House, and all of a sudden the lights went out, and he made a comment, and one of the board operators noticed that there was a Q post months ago talking about going from darkness to light. Now, when you put that in conjunction with the fact that Putin handed Donald Trump 160 terabytes of intel information, And then he said, the ball is in your court. This sounds like to me that these two individuals are working to bring down the cabal. We've had a lot of naysayers. Yep, there's Jews in the Trump administration, no doubt about it. Steve Mnuchin is just another Jew in the Federal Reserve. So once again, the Federal Reserve is always headed by a damn Jew, and we wonder why we're getting raped by the financial system and the tax system in America. So that being said, you have all this other stuff happening. So here again, like I've said so many times, we're going to know real fast. This thing's coming to a head real fast. You've got major players calling for Trump to be, at the very least, impeached. Some people even say hung for treason. Exactly as they demeaned John F. Kennedy before they assassinated him. So they're ramping up their game, which means the patriots, the true patriots, the believers, the white Christian patriots of America should be ramping up their game right now. Get ready for it, folks. If they make any attempt to confiscate weapons, the war is on. If they make any attempt to take Donald Trump out of office, the war is on. Those are key issues right there. These communists have identified themselves. Their goal is the stripping of our weapons so that we will be like the poor Russian cousins of ours and what they did to the multiple tens of millions. Starved 12 million Ukrainians alone, starved them outright to death. Men, women, and children. Their game plan hasn't changed. If you think for some reason that these communists are all of a sudden becoming philanthropists and they're going to treat you okay in your slavery to this communist system, you got rocks in your head. If they did it to our Russian cousins, if they murdered a sitting president, they don't give a rat's rear end about you, your family, or your children. They will do exactly the same thing. They will enslave them. They'll starve them. They will murder them, whatever they feel like doing. So, an attempt to take Donald Trump out of office is a call to war. An attempt to confiscate or take away our weapons is a call to war. Those two things are undeniable. Make no mistake about it. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you see going on. It doesn't matter what you're hearing over any kind of media. If either of those two things come to pass, the war is on. The Civil War in the United States will commence right then and there. Mark my words. So those were major news items as of today. And again, I did put up two new videos. I do highly recommend that. We also are asking for continual prayer for Delia and Leo, who are fighting the fight of their life against cancer up in Illinois, and ask you to continue to pray for them. We have good people. He finally got the hospice people out of the way, which were, according to a nurse that I know, and I've got nurses in my family, I've heard this same thing from, but it was reiterated to me today that they're pretty much just, their only interest is in escorting you to the other side. They have no interest whatsoever in trying to stop that process. That's not their function. So if you do want to try to help a loved one to overcome this dreaded disease, then hospice is not going to assist. That's not their function. So the good news is, again, hospice is out of the way, and good things are happening. Good people are on the scene, and so we covet prayers for that family and that the good things continue to happen. So, and there's other illnesses out there amongst our people, and our Father does not want that for us, people. He really doesn't. That's not what this world is all about, all right? He gave us rules to live by. He gave us a operator's manual, if you want to call it that, in the Holy Scriptures. We got people now starting to put out nonsense about that none of the Scriptures are accurate. They're even trying to get us to doubt that Christ Jesus even exists. Certainly God doesn't exist. They've bragged about that ever since the days of the Beatles. God is dead. So, you know, these Jews have tried to decimate white Christian America. And we need to come up with a different term than Christian, because the early Christians, the early believers, did not refer to themselves as Christians. That's a derogatory term that the Jews use against us. They have ever since the days of the Greeks, when they called us Christianos, and that was a derogatory term, the same exact way that Nazi is a Jewish term for the Germans. Germans never called themselves Nazis. That's a Jew term. And then they turn all their media loose to denigrate and attach this Nazi term, just like any white person sticking up for the white race is immediately labeled a supremacist. And yet you got rabbis out there proclaiming that the Jews are the only race of people fit to rule the world, and every other race is here to serve these diabolical creatures. Really, but that doesn't get any attention. You see how it works? And we said that years ago when all these Jews were pushing for hate crime legislation. We told you that the purpose wasn't to actually get rid of hate crimes or hate speech or any of that stuff. It was to suppress and put a muzzle on the white race. That's why for years, you know, we've been pointing out to you that who gets charged with hate crimes against other races? Predominantly white people. It's almost never done to the non-whites. So again, it's time for us to wake up. I mean, you know, what's happening in America and at virtually every other nation, white nation on this earth is, it's in your face. I mean, in your face. So here we got a code of honor. This was sent to me. I don't know. I can't give credit because I have no idea where I got it from. But it just, a code of honor is, be without fear in the face of your enemies. Stand brave and upright, that Yahweh may love you. Speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong. You could also say, do no harm. Do no harm. Very simple code of honor if we only applied it, right? It reminds me of when I was thumbing through a dictionary looking for another word. This was in my rather large Webster's unabridged dictionary. And I stumbled across the word rhadamanthine, which is spelt R-H-A-D-A-M-A-N-T-H-I-N-E, rhadamanthine. It comes from the Greek language, mythology, but its use in modern English is to ascribe, as an adjective, to ascribe this attribute towards whoever you're using the word, that they are strictly and uncompromisingly just. And as soon as I read that definition, I wrote it down because I knew I was going to use it at some point. Because I sat and I thought about it one day and I said, you know, how could we have a word that's so beautiful as this? I mean, to be strictly and uncompromisingly just? Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, clear back to King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, to the Knights of the Middle Ages, to the Founding Fathers, to the preachers of old. Isn't that exactly what we're supposed to be? Go all the way back to the Christ himself. Strictly and uncompromisingly just. And so here we have this word, and here I'm looking in a dictionary in my 40s, and for 40-some years I've walked this earth, I'd never ever heard that word used. And then it dawned on me. It's because it doesn't apply to anybody. That's a sad, statement. Think about it. You've got this word describing exactly how we're supposed to be, and yet you never hear anybody referred to by it. What's that tell you about your society? What's it tell you about your value system? When you can't call anybody you know, with all of these talking heads and all of these pompous asses claiming to be our pious leaders, whether it's the church, the government, whatever. Pious, pompous asses. And yet you can't use that term for any one of them. So what's that tell you? We're in sad shape. That's what it tells you. Because that's exactly what we need, and that's exactly how we should behave. Strictly and uncompromisingly just. The Founding Fathers had a saying, "It is better that 100 guilty men go free than to hang one innocent man." Our justice system today, which is a misnomer, by the way, justice has nothing to do with the Department of Justice today, but our system of courts, we'll call it that, the court system today is just the opposite. They would rather hang 100 innocent men than to accidentally hang a guilty, because the guilty are typically their buddies. The people putting money in their pocket, running the corporations, running the media, running the government. Guilty, guilty, guilty. So they'll put 100 people in jail for victimless crimes, drugs, something as stupid as having a couple joints in your pocket. We'll put people in jail for that, but we got mass murderers, pedophiles, traffickers, organ harvesters, cannibals, and all that running around, and we just can't seem to do anything about them. We got MS-13 causing, raising hell in the United States. Well, Dan, what do you want us to do? Put a stop to it. Put a stop to it. We talked about the fact Uri Call, the son of Gordon Call, is still in prison. Why? Why is that man still in prison? He didn't do anything wrong. His father was murdered, gunned down by the very criminals within government we've been talking about, simply because Gordon Call, a decorated veteran, was pointing out the fact that the income tax system was created by this cabal to steal our wealth and to keep us under control. It had nothing to do with funding legitimate government. Remember, this government can create as much money as it needs by simply getting Steve Mnuchin, the Zionist communist Jew, to go into the basement of the Federal Reserve and punch a few keys on a keyboard. They can have as much money as they want. They don't need to collect any income tax or any other kind of tax, not at this time. So why do they keep it? Because it gives them leverage over you. Because if you make one mistake in that return, they can charge you with falsification of a, quote, legal document. They'll throw the book at you, while scumbags like Hillary Clinton are still walking free, and Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, James Comey, all the rest of these criminals. Do you see how the system is upside down? And this isn't anything at all what Father Yahweh envisioned. So we talk about the military tribunals. A military tribunal is more in line with the system of judges right out of the Bible than your current court system, which is defiled, completely defiled. So what would be wrong with that? Again, as long as we, the people, watch and maintain diligently an oversight over whatever kind of tribunals we have. You see, that's the key element that's been missing, folks. Is they convinced us through these lying preachers that a good Christian shouldn't be involved in politics, which is 100% false. We should be involved in every aspect of government because we know the truth and we are the sons and daughters of the Most High. There should be nothing going on in our lands that we're not involved in. So, whatever kind of tribunals are set up to deal with these communist traitors, we need to be watching over them, and our militia needs to be at the ready in case things go awry. Because let's face it, we're at a vulnerable point. An enemy could come in while we're in this state of demanding quick and drastic change and feign that they are good guys, all the while setting us up for a takeover the same way they did the Russians 100 years ago. And that's why I say every believer should be armed and ready for the war to start every single day at this point. Every single day. Because we're that close. The communists are making their move. When they come out and call President Trump a traitor, they are identifying themselves as communists, and they have also identified that they are at the point where they know they're losing control, and so, like a trapped animal or a cornered snake, that's when they're the most dangerous. These communists know that the tribunals and the hangings are right around the corner. Praise Yahweh. So right now, every believer, patriot, should be armed and ready. Don't go out and do anything on your own. Now, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you must be ready. Now, I'm saying that for two reasons. One, if these communists make their move, and I told you what the two signs would be, either anything done to our president or an attempt to disarm us. All right, you need to be at the ready for more reasons than you think, because either way this goes, we must be ready to assist those that are doing righteous, those who are fighting this evil system and trying to set it right, those who are part of the Obadiah 18 squad, those that are part of the Gideon army, those who are part of the Ezekiel 37 vast and mighty army that comes out of that valley of dead and dry bones. We're in the valley of dead and dry bones, folks. Right now, you're in it. It's called the earth and everything on the earth. Every time you go down to the mall shopping, you're walking amongst the zombies. The dead and dry bones. Bags of bones. They're everywhere. Bags of bones in Washington. Bags of bones in the Pentagon. Bags of bones in media. So there's a lot of them out there. But out of that will come the Great Awakening, which is the prophesized by Ezekiel. Because of our Father. You know, this isn't because we're special. We're not. There's nothing special about us. We can't even keep anything straight. We can't even do the right thing in our own families half the time. We can't run anything right. We're so corrupt. We're so lazy. This is because he said he is not going to allow his name to be tarnished. This is to bring people to the fullness of the knowledge of who he is. It's not to reward us for good behavior, because you and I don't have it, folks. We failed. The Jews have risen to power for all these centuries and murdered and committed all these crimes right under our noses, and we didn't do a damn thing to stop it. They murdered our president, John F. Kennedy. They attempted to assassinate Ronald Reagan. The few people that were speaking out, we allowed to be dishonored and denigrated, just like Joe McCarthy, the people that tried to point this stuff out, just like James Traficant, the congressman from Ohio. We allowed him to be railroaded into jail and to die an early death at the hands of these Bolsheviks. Same thing with Edgar Steele, a highly successful attorney in California. 25 years without a single loss. 25 years, people, without a single loss. Until he defended Richard Butler of the Aryan nations. That was his downfall, because he should have won, but he realized then the power of these Bolshevik Jews, Zionist communist Jews in America. And when he had his victory taken from him in that courtroom, he became a very outspoken individual. And here again, we allowed him to be railroaded into court, railroaded into the criminal justice system to die an early death. Yeah, we allowed that. So if you think for 1 minute that our father, who's going to bring this system crashing down, is doing it because we deserve anything from him, you're sadly mistaken, because we don't deserve a damn thing. We've been at the helm. We were given a country as great as the United States of America, and look what we have allowed to happen to it. We've had all kinds of information and people trying to tell us the truth, and we've turned against it. We said we want our ears tickled. CNN and NBC, please tickle us. Oprah Winfrey, the little hag that she is. Yeah, Oprah, that's it. Tell me the sweet-sounding words. Helen DeGenerate, because she is a degenerate. Yeah, Helen, tell us those funny little stories and how magnanimous you are. Yeah, ain't that sweet? So nothing we've done says that we deserve it. And that's why the glory will all go to the Father. And it, rightfully so. For many years, I thought, wouldn't it be great if a white army would rise up and righteous leaders at the head of that army and just go across this earth and destroy the wicked? What a glorious thing that would be to be a part of that, wouldn't it? I fantasize about that. Just armies of righteous Israelites who have said, I've had enough. I've had enough of this criminality. I've had enough of this stuff. And we're going to round you communists up, and we're going to build gallows, and we will execute you in public for what you have done. And we're going to set all those poor children free. We're going to set all those enslaved races, those people from Asia and the Middle East and everything else that are enslaved by these despicable Jews for their sick and demented purposes. We're going to set everybody free, exactly as Adam was put here to do. Wouldn't that be a glorious thing to be part of? I've never seen it. And that's when I guess I realized that, as the book says, so shall it be, that the only person who will get any glory out of what's about to happen will be our Heavenly Father. It won't be us. We can't even organize to form a community. A one lousy community in the entire United States. We can't even do that. We can't come to an agreement. We can't come to an agreement on a calendar. We can't come to an agreement on Sabbath days. We can't come to an agreement on what to do about feast days. We can't come to an agreement even that the Bible's right when it talks about the patriarchal family. We actually got people out here denouncing what the Bible says and common sense says and history says about our people for thousands of years. We've got pompous asses actually trying to demean what our father put here for. That's how pathetic we are. So praise Yahweh that he said, I'm not going to let this continue. And he will see to it that it ends. That's what it's going to take. You can't get white people to get off their ass for anything nowadays. For anything. I said years ago, I don't even know that if the Jewish communists come down the street and started pulling women out of the homes and raping the wives, the grandmothers, and the daughters right there in the front yard like they did our Russian cousins 100 years ago, I don't know that the men in the United States of America would get off their ass even then. I really don't know it. There is a glimmer of hope, though, when Donald Trump was running. Because whether you like Donald or not, what he was saying as he campaigned struck a nerve. And for the first time, I saw a glimmer of hope for the white man. It's not the ladies who need to do the fighting, guys, so stop looking for them to get up and take up arms. That's our job. And when I saw the veterans and the motorcyclists, since I'm both, were rising up in large numbers to support Mr. Trump and to see to it that no harm comes to him, there was a glimmer of hope. If we could just expand that and come together and simply agree that we need to put an end to the chicanery and the debauchery and the satanic system that's rising up right now. All of it being guided and funded by people like George Soros and the Rothschilds. Zionist international bankers with way too much money. Way, way too much money. Funneling those shekels into the pockets of people that'll do the evil, dirty deeds that they want. And that's why it was interesting that Vladimir Putin, Mr. Putin, actually spoke about that at Helsinki. George Soros is a big problem. Amen. Why is that SOB walking the earth? That's what I want to know. Why aren't these people rounded up right now? Why are we not fitting them for coffins and getting those gallows built? You want to straighten this world up, that's what you got to do. Where in the good book does it say you pray your way out of it? Where does it say that? And people say, well, you know, they're in the book of Psalms with King David was doing it, you know, it says vengeance is the Lord's. Really? That's funny because it was King David who said that, but King David said that while he was picking up the stones that he was going to put into his sling to kill Goliath and take his head off. The scriptures also tell us that our Heavenly Father says all of the plans of the wicked against his children will be turned around on their heads only double. Could we be approaching that time? Could it be possible that these two world leaders actually are believers, actually do want to see righteous things done? Is it possible? Again, I'm not going to put my rifle away, nor my helmet, nor my uniform, nor my combat boots, nor my combat knife. No. I won't be putting them away until I see Yeshua come. When Yeshua sits on the throne, then I'll put them away. Until then, forever diligent is what we're supposed to be. Okay? Always diligent, always looking, just like Gideon when he took those men down by the river. The ones he told to go home were the ones who stopped being diligent and constantly on the lookout for the enemy. So we don't get a pass on that, all right? We don't get a pass. So we have to be involved. We have to stay involved. And that's just the way it is. So I'm encouraged. Again, guardedly, I'll admit that. I'm not saying it couldn't turn out to be a charade and a play on us, because we do have some very diabolical people involved in all this mix. But we also have what Scripture tells us. We also know that Babylon at some point is going to be brought down in a very short period of time. We also know that it somehow is tied in with the economic system. We also know that it's the merchants who are weeping and wailing as this Babylonian system burns to the ground. We know those things. And you can see them happening. So, again, we are at the precipice of some huge events happening in the very near future. And we have to be prepared for either scenario. Either to take the streets to fight the New World Order that deceived us, or to take the streets to fight the communists alongside the white hats within our military, intelligence, and government. The good guys, the ones that actually are there, the ones that actually do want to make a difference. The guys that were let go by the communist Obama. That little piece of dirt needs to be brought to justice. For our soldiers, let's close tonight with Psalm 91, which is known as the Soldier's Psalm. I'm going to read it from the World English Bible. It's decent. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to Yahweh, quote, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will take refuge. Let me stop there for a minute. I read a story years ago about a firefighter out west somewhere, and he was coming through the woods after the fire had been taken care of and so many trees had been burnt. And he came across one where he looked ahead and there was a rather large bird. I can't remember what kind of bird it was, but he could see it from a distance, so it must have been pretty big. We'll say something like a hawk or an eagle or something. And he noticed that the bird was dead. It had been killed by the heat of the fire. But as he got closer, he heard noise. And then he noticed that the little chicks had come out from underneath the wings, and they had survived because of what the mother bird had done. It reminds me of this verse when it says, He will cover you with his feathers. That's the same principle. He will cover us to protect us as we fight the righteous fight. His faithfulness is your shield and rampart. Yahweh's faithfulness. You shall not be afraid of the terror by day, nor of the arrow that flies by night, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made Yahweh your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he will put his angelos, angels, in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. Let me stop here for a minute. In verse 11 here, angels are not winged, harp-playing folks from beyond the firmament. All right? Angels are messengers, and they can be earthly messengers just as much as supernatural ones. All right? So, his messengers in charge to guard you, give you information, tell you about health, tell you about the food laws, tell you how to watch out who your enemies are, why you don't listen to Jews and their lies. Verse 12, they will bear you up in their hands so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and cobra. What do they represent? The lion and cobra, our enemies. You will trample the young lion and the serpent underfoot. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. These are the words of Yahweh. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. Again, Psalm 91, the soldier's psalm. Certainly a psalm that should be read often. All through the years, I've read it in dark days when tribulation had come upon me and persecution. Also in times of good times, just simply to be reminded of who I'm fighting for and with and why. First of all, for my Heavenly Father. Second of all, for my kinsmen. My family extends beyond my blood, children, and grandchildren. It extends to all of those who carry the blood of Adam in their veins. We are a family. It doesn't matter what country or language we speak. We're all part of the family. And this is a bigger, bigger thing than just the United States. This is a world event that's coming upon us. And so as you get to where you may feel a bit forlorn or confused about all this stuff that's going on around us, that's when you need to step back from it, folks. Step back, take a deep breath, go to that quiet place. For instance, we talked about on your bed when you're going to bed at night and when you get up in the morning. Take advantage of the quiet and the solitude. We all have busy days, but thank God, when you're going to bed and get up, that's a time when you can have some peace and quiet. At least you should. If you're not, then you should make it so. And spend time in contemplation of the things we've talked about here and who Father is and who you are. And what are you going to do to make this a better world? Because that's why we're here. And this world is in travail, waiting for our people to be manifested instead of sitting back and allowing the Jews and their lapdogs to run the show. We're the ones who should be giving out the marching orders. We're the ones who bring righteousness and justice on this earth, not them. No, not them. And any liar or misfit that says that it is them that are the righteous, sorry, no, it's not. Oh, we got somebody that's calling in here. Wayne, welcome to the program. You had a comment or question?
Hello, Pastor Dan. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Well, I understand. I just wanted to share a good report.
Well, excellent.
Of course, we all say, well, at least for me, I talk to my family a lot, and I share what I learn, and I've gotten a lot of those deer in the headlight looks, and for many years. And when I discovered identity and the revelation, I mean, the truth that I felt in my spirit when I heard it, I just gobbled it up, and I couldn't keep it to myself. So my family were the first ones, you know, that I naturally share with.
And mm-hmm.
I get those same looks, those same attitudes about this that I did when I was learning about the government. And my baby brother, 9 years my junior, I've been talking to. And not long ago, he shared with me that he was a rock and roller in his youth, and when he got saved in the Judeo-Christian church, he started playing the rhythm guitar in the church band, you know. And anyway, this church he's been attending for several years. He's been playing on the band for near the whole time he was going to that church. And he said, Wayne, just last Sunday I was up there playing my guitar and I was looking out in the crowd and the people just looked, I don't know, he said they just weren't into it. They were there because they thought they were supposed to be there, and I just finally reached the point where I got my belly full. And he said, I talked to my pastor about it. He said, I think I'm supposed to do something else.
Interesting.
And he said, I just don't feel the enthusiasm that I once felt. And I said, Randy, it ain't about feeling good, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Christ wasn't jumping up and down and talking in tongues and shaking the tambourine.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's kind of, go ahead.
He was a pretty solemn character from what I understand.
Yes, absolutely.
And he was sad at what he was witnessing.
Yeah, it had to be sad.
This is a terrible responsibility that I've laid on you, and you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an easy thing to shake off this crap that we've had stuffed down our gullet so long that we actually believed it.
Right.
So it'll take some time, but it's worth the fight. It's worth the battle you have to wage within yourself to come to the realization that there's something that's been concealed from you and from us all.
Exactly.
And and of course I've tried to, he's very busy. He's a salesman. He works for a food company that sells to restaurants, and he was started doing yard work on the side to fund his daughter's college education. And so I just don't have time to spend studying the word like I should, and I'm sorry for it. And I said, well, I understand. I've had a different lifestyle, and I've had time for quite a while to study. And now that I'm retired, I got a lot more time. But so I started trying to share some things that he could look at. And, you know, since a lot of us are more visual than we are anything else, that you know, I told him about some of the old identity ministers like Bertrand Comparet and Wesley Swift. And I sent him a couple of recordings that I ran across last night from Bertrand Comparet that I listened to again, pertaining to the Bible was not a Jewish book, and you know, it's very plain. I mean, the way Bertrand explained it, you know, all through the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
the whole book was railing against the enemies of God, which were the Jews. Jesus said it himself many times. If they would just read his words, or if we would just read his words.
Yep. It's not hiding. It's there. You just have to read it.
Yeah, and I told him to read the 8th chapter of John. I said, now, Randy, don't try to read any spiritual stuff into it. Just read it because it's plain. It's plain spoken, even in the King James Bible. It's easy to understand what he's saying. He's not speaking in spiritual matters. He's speaking directly. He's stating the facts as they are. There's nothing to interpret. I mean, it's just like you and me talking right now. I mean, so don't read into it anything that's not there. Just take it for what it says, because it says it all. And so he's on that road, I believe, Pastor Dan, and I believe that we are waking up, and I'm afraid it's not going to. I don't know how it's going to play out. I understand that the Scripture says that the day will come when my people will awaken and they will understand who they are. Well, I don't know whether that would be a one day suddenly it will happen, or whether in the coming days my people will awaken, you know, over a little bit of time. I don't know which one that is.
Right.
But I understand you. I hear your frustration. And believe me, I'm there. I'm a student. And I'm a student of yours. So I listen more than I talk, because I lack greatly, you know. So and I don't study the way I should. I'm guilty. I've been getting wrapped up in all this stuff relating to our quote unquote great awakening that I don't dedicate the time to study the Word, and I need to study more than I do this. I mean, you've done all the work, but I know we can all learn something from the Scriptures every time we turn a page.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, I think, and I'm hopeful about what's been going on, or what I read is reportedly going on and taking place as far as the Q matters go. And I've been studying all that stuff, and I guess I'm watching to see if what I hope actually takes place.
Well, that's it. That's it. We watch what's going on with a cautious eye, because it could literally go either direction. You know, we see.
This is what makes me cautious. What makes me cautious is the fact that President Trump has surrounded himself with these critters. He allowed his daughter to marry one. And, I mean, I was listening to something about the religious affiliations of the members of the Supreme Court. So I Googled it. Wikipedia, you know, that's where I ended up. And my goodness, there's not a Protestant among them.
No, it's all Jews. The Roman Catholic Jews and Talmud Jews. But it's all Jews, right?
Including this clown that President Trump recently appointed.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and the previous guy is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And
right.
and he bellies up to them critters and Bibi Netanyahu.
Well, this guy Kavanaugh and his mother are members of the Senior Executive Service, which is the hidden...
Oh, well, of course they are.
So,
I'll be darned. Dead,
yeah.
You know?
So, again, that's why I say that our men cannot put their weapons away and unload the magazines and hang up their uniforms. No, we can't do that till Yeshua comes. So... right now, all we know for sure is that something big is about to happen. That is for sure. So either there are good guys who are going to attempt to do what the intelligence guy told me about back in 2010, and this is it, or we're being played, and this is the final move of the communist Zionist Bolsheviks. And we're going to have to fight to the death against it. So one way or the other, we got a fight coming. It really doesn't matter if Trump is for real or not. All he is an indication of what's going on. He is a indicator, as same as smoke indicates a fire. Same thing.
Yes.
All these shenanigans going on and the name calling and the ridiculous things that are being said and done, all they're telling us is that there is going to be a big movement very soon. And we are the children of Yahweh. We're going to be part of it. There is no rapture. We're not going out of here on some rapture train.
I call it a rupture.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, Wayne, it's interesting. You said your brother said that to you. My brother, his name is also Randy, and said something to me about a month ago, very, very similar, that he and his wife have been churchgoers for a long time, but they have not been happy with the things that they're seeing in the mainstream Methodist church. And they feel that they're being called to be part of something. They need, what are we doing to fight against this degeneracy? What are we doing to promote the kingdom? What are we doing to lift people up? So, you know,
so
if
I think that's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I think that's the Spirit stirring within us and beginning to prepare our mind, our hearts, for that calling out, that drafting of his people into the battle.
Mm-hmm.
I only pray that that is true, and I pray for that. I pray for that for me, because I want to be part of it. And I want to be worthy of being drafted into the fight.
Right.
And I try to prepare myself, and I do a very poor job, but I'm trying. So,
well,
but
we each do as best we can with what we've got. You know, all he expects is a proper attitude. You know, that is so important. You know, people just don't understand that. Yahweh's judging us on our attitude. Do we have the attitude of an overcomer, or are we just going to use any little excuse that comes along and allow that to diminish our efforts and diminish what we believe in and trying to do? So he wants attitudes, you know, people with the right attitude. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. My God, if we had to be perfect, none of us would survive. So he wants to see a working attitude. He wants to see the right heart. You know, that's why Paul and the apostles spoke of circumcision of the heart. He said, "You guys, your focus is on the wrong thing. You got to be thinking about what was the intent, and the intent was that we take away that shell from our heart, figuratively speaking, that so many of our people carry around like a chip on the shoulder, and let that be stripped away to where the Spirit can administer to you." All right? The Holy Spirit cannot overcome the things of this world. That's why we're told to go to a quiet place and listen for that still, small voice, because Father's not going to try to outshout MTV, rock bands, a loud television, gabbing neighbors, or a table full of catty women, or the guys down at the bar screaming and yelling about football. The Holy Spirit's not going to try to overcome that. He's sitting there waiting to talk to you, but you're going to have to make the effort to get to that quiet place where the Spirit can speak to you. And a lot of our people just don't have the gumption it takes to do that. It's sad, but they really don't.
Yes, I know. And I've been a muff. But I think about him in the morning, and I think about him at night when I lay down my head, and I pray myself to sleep. I'm afraid I don't even finish my prayers sometimes.
That happens to a lot of people. Trust me.
So what I need to do is to make sure I've got a big closet, and it's got a door, and it's dark, and there's a little stool in there, and I've gone in there several times, but I haven't gone in there enough with the intention of getting on my knees and leaning on that stool. And that's what I need to do more often, rather than pray myself to sleep at night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I know you're seeing it yourself, and I know that you were. I just wanted to share that as an encouragement, you know, to you and you're part of my awakening, as many others in the identity movement have been, and even those who have been gone for a long time have been a part of my new understanding. So I'm grateful, and I want you to know that it isn't falling on deaf ears, and I'm trying to do my part and share the message. And a lot of people are starting to listen. So that's encouraging to me when I, especially when my brother said what he said.
Yeah.
So, as I'm sure you were about your brother.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
I've been hitting that button for the QAnon .pub every day, looking for something new, you know.
Well, I like what Colonel Potter says about Q. Some people are becoming almost like a cult with the Q stuff, and we can't fall into that trap either.
No, we can't.
Yeah, Q is just another source of information like any other, and we should take whatever Q is putting up there and put it against other things that are happening. I've been doing that, and a lot of the things, whoever Q is, it seems that a lot of it is legitimate. It really does.
I don't think it's who. I think it's what. I think I'm more inclined to think it's a group than a person.
Yes.
But and from time to time, it may be President Trump himself. I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of hints being posted as you see things happening. There was a post that says keep your eye on the ball, and then you see later on that President Putin hands Trump in the middle of a summit speech a soccer ball.
I saw both those things you mentioned, the light going out and the ball, and I thought, oh my gosh, why didn't I see that?
Yeah. Well, there's people better than us. I'm not that good at analyzing it all. I'm relying on a lot of other people that do that. I'm so busy doing what I'm doing, I don't have that kind of time. But I know enough about it that I can tell when it appears to be true and on target. So I listen to probably 6 or 7 broadcasters every day. And a lot of them are very, very good at interpreting these things and also going back and grabbing stuff in the past and bringing it forward to make these analogies. And when they do that, you know, it adds credibility to it, and it's uplifting. And because here's the way I look at it, okay? No matter what's going on, at least we're not dying the death of 1,000 cuts. We are finally at the point where we're either going to be the righteous remnant cheering our victory as we slaughter the wicked, or it's going to be the other way around. I think it's in our hands as his sons and daughters which way this thing goes. But
at this point, I think all we can do is to pray it into existence. That's right now, to that point where we become active in a physical way.
Well, as we pray, so we become. As you think, as, so you are.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You don't
exactly.
know how valuable. You don't know how valuable that was when I was an engineer's apprentice. So I had to think myself into the job.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. Again, I'm hoping to get some Pastor Greg Howard is going to come back with us here in the near future, and Michael up there in St. Louis has said he's going to come on, and Dr. Gifford has got more information about the war going on in the medical profession. So, you know, we've got a lot of fronts to this war, but I see signs that we are starting to bring down the cabal. And it reminds me of the verse that said that when Christ would come on his charger for war, that he would have a double-edged sword proceeding from his mouth. That always bothered me until recently, because it just didn't make sense, and now it does, because the spoken word, when it is spoken with conviction and truth, can cut just like a sword. It can bring down the enemy, because they work on deception and lies. And so if you're willing to swing that sword of truth at the enemy, you can literally cut them and make them bleed. And if we can cut them enough, this damn beast can be bled out and die, and that's what needs to happen. This beast has consumed an awful lot of innocent blood, and it needs to be slaughtered and put to bed, put to rest.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
We don't need any more martyrs. We don't need any more children being consumed. We don't need any more women being raped. We don't need any more soldiers dying. We don't need any more FBI agents and their wives dying. This is bullshit. Excuse my French, but I am so sick of reading about the innocent people that are suffering. Sick of it. And it's time to put it to that.
Like Patton said, he said, it's not your job to die for your country. It's your job to make the other poor bastard die for his.
Well, yeah, so exactly right.
They're good. They need to die for their cause.
Well, that's it. It's an attitude, you know. We've had the attitude of being defeated and suppressed and lorded over for far too long. We need to take on the attitude of righteous warriors. And we dish out the commands. We don't take them. We dictate terms. We don't accept terms from the enemy. We dictate the terms.
Absolutely.
So stop worshiping this false god called government. Government's made up of people, and today the government's made up typically of antichrists. So why
Gubernare,
in the hell are people... What?
Gubernare Nente. To control the mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep, exactly. Well, you know, repent is Latin also, and it just means to rethink. Change the way you think. A lot of people think repentance is flogging yourself on the back with a whip or beating your head against a wall or any other kind of nonsense like that. It simply means change the way you think. Stop thinking like a heathen. Stop thinking that you're a servant of a criminal cabal in Washington or anywhere else in this world, or certainly not out of Tel Aviv or the Vatican, and start thinking like the creatures that Yahweh made you as. You're made in the image of the King of Kings. You're not made in the image of a slave. You're made in the image of a king and a priest.
Yeah. One of my uncles is a holy roller, and I got together with him many months ago to help him. His boat dock got detached from the line at Ten Killer Lake, and we were having dinner with him and his Judeo-Christian son-in-law pastor, and he asked me, "Well, are you going to church anywhere, Wayne?" I said, "No. Why would I need to go to church? I'm a priest on the order of Melchizedek."
Did that get the eyes rolling?
He didn't say it. Dad come say. Neither did this preacher's son-in-law.
Yep. Yep. Well, I've said it for years. I wouldn't darken the doorstep on a mainstream church today. No way. No way. Whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. That's all they are.
Well, I've got a daughter and son-in-law who are going to one of those mega churches in Tulsa, and man, they've. Yeah, I know that the phrase "drinking the Kool-Aid" probably came from a misconception of the massacre at Jonestown, but they've been drinking the Kool-Aid, they just can't accept it. I mean, they want to be part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
They love the community of Willie George's Church on the Move. It's just so wonderful.
Well, they got a severe wake-up call coming very soon. So, you know, we just keep praying that the Father will reach down and touch them, because he's the one that decides who is woke up and who isn't.
Yeah, you know, after I had my conversation with them both, which got pretty hot, here at my house one night, I just said, "You know what? Yahweh said the day will come when they will all wake up. And it's not my job to wake them up now, but it may be my job to prepare them. So I'll take the slings and arrows of trying to prepare them, but realize that I'll probably be rejected about 98% of the time. So I guess that's where I have to rest.
Well, I was told by my grandfather and father when I was a young man that at some point in my life I might become a supervisor or get out in the working force, and they were constantly telling me that don't worry about how much money you make and don't worry about what other people are doing. You keep your nose clean. You do the right thing. And he says, what you'll find out is somebody's watching you, and often it'll be somebody you're not even aware of. And the day will come when you'll get the reward of the proper money, even though at first you may not be paid that much. And sure enough, when I went into basic training in the Air Force, I remember the day I marched the guys from the chow hall back to our barracks, and the training instructor, our drill instructor, had told us that even if I'm not around, I expect you to do it and do it right. So, of course, a lot of guys said, you know, hey, there's nobody watching. Why do we have to get up, form in a column and be marched back? Because there's nobody here watching. And the day that this happened, I told the guys, I said, look, the sergeant said to do it this way, and by God, we're going to do it this way. So get in the column, come to attention, and I'm going to march you back to the barracks. And so we did. And thank goodness they took it seriously enough, because they did a perfect job. We were all in step. The cadence was right. I gave the commands for quarter turns and come to a halt and all that stuff. It actually came out very well. And as we dismissed, I turned around, and guess who I saw hiding behind one of the columns of a building nearby that was watching us the entire time?
Yeah.
Our drill instructor. Yeah. Now, Sergeant Nunemaker was one of the fastest rising non-commissioned officers in the Air Force at that time. He was making rank in the shortest amount of time that you could possibly do it. That's how gung-ho this guy was. And so Sergeant Nunemaker, for him to give us a thumbs up and an attaboy for doing a good job meant a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, the words of my grandfather, just like the words that come out of the scripture and the words of the Holy Spirit, if you just trust them and put them into action, the day will come when you'll see the fruition of what you were taught.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I in my railroad career, you know, I started out as a switchman and a brakeman and became a conductor, and a short time later I transferred into engine service to become an engineer. And there's a pretty extensive compressed training program, and I sought out, because I worked with him as his head brakeman. He was the engineer on many jobs that I worked on, trains over the road, through freight here to Tulsa and Avard and One Oak, Oklahoma. And I liked the way he ran the engine. And I, when I got into engine service, I sought him out and I asked him if he would be willing to take me on as an apprentice. And he said, well, I thought I was out of that business, but I'll take you. Well, the reason he took me, Pastor Dan, was because he was trained by my great uncle.
Hmm.
And he put me right in the seat, just like he said he would. And he never touched the throttle of the engine as long as I worked for him. I did everything. And he said, sit straight up in that seat, put your feet flat on the floor, because everything that train does comes right up through that post and hits you right in the butt. If you got your feet propped up on that heater, you ain't going to feel it. I'm going to teach you to run just like your uncle taught me, and that's by the seat of your pants. And if you can't feel it, you can't do it. And he said, he, you know, the many nights he spent with me running trains in the middle of the night, he spent nearly the whole trip sometimes leaning over that console talking to me about the rules and the mechanics and this and that, and that's things evolved over time, and the speedometer became a recorder, and it records everything you do. He said, Wayne, you can make that thing your worst enemy, or you can make it your best friend, your best defense. Guys can speed, they can poke around, but your job is to get over the road. Get over the road as safe and as fast as you can. So if you learn to run the speed limit, you don't have to cheat. Run the speed limit. Learn how to run the speed limit. Don't be scared and run under the speed limit because you're afraid of getting fired for speeding. Just run the speed limit. You can learn how to run the speed limit and manage that train in such a way that you never have to speed. And when the speed limit's 40, run 40. When it's 50, run 50. But you don't have to cheat to have a good trip.
Mm-hmm.
I just so many things that he did for me, and just teaching me to equip myself with the books that they provided with me for me to know those books, because if you know them, you're probably going to know them better than those guys who are going to try to punish you with them. So if you know them better than they do, there you have nothing to fear. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, just do
yep.
the right thing.
Do
know
the right
what
thing.
You're doing. Know what you're doing. And be confident. So, you know, I had the opportunity to thank him for it one day after a period of time when I had to go to a place far away to be able to work and get a paycheck, and I had to run trains over a strange railroad, and that man taught me how to learn a railroad just by looking at it, using the headlight. At night, most of the time I would run trains, it'd be in the middle of the night when it's dark. You can't see the landmarks, but you can use that headlight to discover the dips and curves and all that stuff. And I did that, and I was successful. I came back. I told him, you know, I can't tell you how much every time I talk about him, I kind of well up
mm-hmm.
and get emotional about it. But he, I told him what I did when I went over there, and I started seeing tears fall from his eyes, and I think he was as grateful to have me for a student as I was grateful to have him for a mentor. And my trainer. So, you know, it's yeah, cheating ain't no fun.
Right.
You get away with it, but then it's when the time comes down to the nitty-gritty and you got to perform when one of those supervisors are standing there watching you, you won't know how to do it. So just do it right.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. You're right.
You're right.
That's exactly what you were saying. It crosses all occupations, all walks of life, every facet of our lives. Whether I'm running a 20,000-ton train or I'm handling a 35-year-old shovel in my garden, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do it right. Learn how to economize every movement or whatever, you know. It becomes easy. That's when people want to emulate you because, oh, Wayne, would you teach me? You just make this look so easy. Well, it is easy now. I've been at it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've made the mistakes. I've learned from them. And I pay attention. You know, so it's a blessing.
That's the amazing thing is the scripture teaches all these rules about how to conduct ourselves, and people act like it's so restrictive and so difficult. When in reality, it works. It works, and life is better, so much better. And but the way of the world and the adversary constantly tries to tempt you into cheating and taking shortcuts and doing it a different way, when if you can just ignore it and stick to the simple truths, trust not on your own understanding, but trust the Father in all things, the rewards, the blessings, the great feelings, the compliments, they will eventually all come, and people will walk up to you as well. I told you, and I told the listeners about my cousin calling me about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And he basically said that, you know, we made fun of you for years coming to the family reunions, that the things you were talking about were just nonsense and paranoia. And he said, I got to tell you that I'm sorry that we did that, because you were much wiser than the rest of us, because everything you talked about has come true. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a mixed blessing. It's good to hear that, because you're vindicated and you feel like, well, I told you. But at the same time, it's sad because of the pain and where we're at now, because of folks that didn't listen. You know, the idea of telling people is that they listen and make a change and make it a better world. Not that we can come back 10, 15, 20 years later and say, well, you know, as they're laying there needing some kind of major medical procedure or joint replacement or some of the other horrific things that are going on, when if they had listened, that wouldn't be necessary. So
yeah. Well, you know, I don't know where I would be if I hadn't discovered, purely by accident, what had been going on in our government that I was totally ignorant to. And, you know, what I learned about the Maritime Admiralty Law and the Universal Commercial Code and the setup of our government and the War of 1812 and the removal of the original 13th Amendment from the Constitution. And I don't know whether I would have been prepared for accepting the tip-off to the identity message if I hadn't gone through the hell that I went through after I had done so much work as far as learning about the government, because, you know, I think I told you that, you know, I was at a point, well, if I can be so completely deceived about stuff like that, then why is it not reasonable for me to believe that I can be deceived in things that are much more important than government?
Mm-hmm.
Like how my standing with my Creator. And so that started me down a road that at one point, not too long ago, I was concerned about my standing, because I had challenged it all, you know. But boom, then there it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I was just like a sponge. It just went right in. And praise Yahweh for that.
Yep, so, absolutely.
Anyway, well, I've kept you way too long. I apologize, but I just wanted to give you a little encouraging word there.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And the testimonies are valuable as well, because we find out that, you know, I talk to a lot of people on a daily basis, and many of our people are going through very, very similar things. So it's always good to hear about somebody else and what they're going through and how they're handling it and how things worked out for them. So that's discipleship. Okay, and that's what we're doing right now. And we're calling it a conference call, but it's really discipleship. You know
that story you told about you walking with this friend of yours and a guy you walked with regularly, and he said something to the effect, Jesus was not a Jew. And you got offended. More than
mm-hmm.
one.
Oh yeah. I got angry.
I'm gonna try to piss somebody off.
Well, what he actually said is he just looked at me and he said, by the way, Dan, he said, Is Jesus a Jew?
Yeah, there you go. That was it.
And I said, well, sure he is, and he said, well, no, he's not. And I got pretty upset with him. And then the second time he did it, I got downright angry with him. But praise Yahweh that he used those two events to get me started on the path that led to where I am right now. Because
Yahweh knew that's all it took for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once my anger subsided, I started to think, and the brain came back into function, and I said to myself, well, Larry's a good friend. He wouldn't lie to me, and he's obviously pretty adamant about this. Maybe there's something I don't know. And that's what made me go buy my first concordance and do my first word study. And a few weeks after I bought the concordance, I found him at work, and I went up to him and apologized. And he said, you figured it out, did you? And I said, yeah, I did. I figured it out, and you're 100% right. He's not a Jew.
Yeah.
So, Yahweh can use any circumstance and any conversation or event to lead you into the paths he wants you to go.
Yeah, I try to work little things like that into conversations from time to time, you know.
Sure.
We talk about family and ancestry and stuff like that, you know.
Sure.
But I seem to always look for inroads to say a little something once in a while. So.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Well, I'll let you go, Dan. I enjoyed talking to you. Appreciate it. Appreciate
Absolutely.
You taking the time.
Absolutely. Take good care, and Yahweh bless, and join us again.
Yahweh bless you. I will certainly do that.
All right. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that was our brother Wayne out there in Oklahoma. So we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We ask your forgiveness for our shortcomings and for our lack of due diligence, for our lack of action. We ask that the Holy Spirit be poured out upon all flesh, as it says in Ezekiel. We're praying for that Ezekiel 37 army to come to life. We're praying for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested, and that at that time there will be a righteous army that will go forth and vindicate the innocent blood that has been shed. Far, far too much blood has been shed upon this earth. It's time for a reset. It's time for a revival. And we just pray that you will guide us, each and every one of us. Give us good discernment, strong backbones, strong hearts, a care and love for each other as a family, because that's what we are, and we need to think like a family and act like a family and have each other's back and lift each other up when we stumble and fall. So keep that in our minds as we look to you, Father, as our great leader and our redeemer, our rock and our refuge. And we'll do all that we do in your precious name. And at all times, Father, we ask that you would protect us from our enemies as we go forward. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.